Christmas spelled out. Matthew 1 verse 21 says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Susan rose early on Friday morning. Her list of 10 chores had to be finished before lunch. Not only did she have a list of chores, but she, with her husband Ralph, had recently received a list of I wants from their 4 children. With 1 week left before Christmas, she knew that her time to get everything accomplished was limited. And how would she ever get all the I wants? Well, finishing her chores just before lunchtime, she called Ralph at work. He promised to go shopping for the I wants of the children on Friday afternoon. The day had arrived. The thrill of shopping and the hustle and bustle of the mall put the feeling and thought in Susan and Ralph. Spend all you have. Why not? Christmas comes but once a year. It was 10:30 p.m. when Susan and Ralph arrived home. Hurriedly, she drove the babysitter home. Exhausted and somewhat ornery, they unloaded the car, hid all the packages, and fell into bed. 6 more days until Christmas was the last thing Ralph and Susan said before they fell asleep. Wrapping the gifts was exciting. Well, gift-giving time finally arrived, and the children were excited. So were Dad and Mom. Everyone watched as Johnny, the oldest boy, hurriedly ripped the paper from one of his gifts. Silence. And then, "This isn't the kind I wanted." A disappointed face could be seen. A grumble could be heard. And tears ran down his cheeks. He was disappointed. But his parents were hurt. Becky had wanted a sweater. She had wanted a red one, but the store only had a maroon one left. She was a little more discreet in hiding her feelings, but she too was not very happy. In her mind raced the thought, "This won't look good on me. Besides, I wanted the one like Sharon has. At least then I could be like one of the bunch." Jed was a boy with a character all of his own. After opening several gifts, he realized that his stack of presents was gone. As he looked at what gifts were left on his little brother's stack, a jealous thought came to mind. Under his breath, he muttered, "Is this all I get? I had 12 things on my list and I only got 5. There was a feeling of emptiness in his stomach and a look of disappointment on his face. Jed had a greedy character which suddenly vented itself. "Miserly and stingy, that's what I call it." He was mad. Finally, little George had the opportunity to open a gift. He was 2 years old and didn't understand all this activity. There was a dampened joy and laughter in watching him rip the paper to shreds. After receiving his toy, he looked at it, dropped it, and ran off to do something else. My friends, all too often, this is a common occurrence at this time of the year. What's the problem? Why are there such disappointments and feelings of emptiness? Aren't too many living for the short-lived pleasures of time? Isn't the problem stemming from the fact that our focus at this time of the year is misdirected? Now let's consider again this family. After all was said and done, the I wants of the family never ended with satisfaction. The event of gift giving concluded with disappointment, feelings of emptiness and frustration. These children weren't happy or satisfied. And the parents? They were hurt and thought, "How ungrateful." My friends, if you or I are hurt, disappointed, and feeling frustrated, imagine how God is grieved when year after year we hear about the birth of Christ, God's unspeakable gift, and miss the point of it all. Do we still feel so little need or desire for such a gift, such a Savior as Jesus? before there was ever the thought about gift giving as we know it, God had prepared another gift. This was and still is the gift of all gifts. Nothing can or ever shall match this unspeakable gift. In the Bible, we can read about someone who was very happy and satisfied with the gift given to him. His name was Paul. He expressed his satisfaction and joy with this gift in the words of 2 Corinthians 9:15, where he states, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." My dear friends, Jesus Christ is God's gift to a world lying in sin, ruined by forsaking God, the maker and creator of us all. In the beginning, man, who was happy and satisfied with God and lacked nothing, rejected God, left God, and in the process, lost God. Since then, you and I have never been happy or satisfied without God. Living apart from God means death, but knowing God through the Lord Jesus Christ means life eternal. Have we ever sensed a loss inwardly regarding God? The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2 that man, without God and Christ, has no hope in this world. Friends, have we ever come to grips with sin as the cause of all our troubles? Have we ever realized that our inward emptiness and lack of satisfaction will never be removed except through believing in God's unspeakable gift, the Lord Jesus Christ? Have we ever felt sin as a burden? Have we ever felt that after years of celebrating Christmas and receiving gifts, that our lives are still empty, and that in looking for something to satisfy, we just haven't found it? Well, friends, God offers us a Christmas alternative, His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is a gift of all gifts. He was chosen and sent by His Father to perform a mission of love, mercy, and salvation. Jesus, the Son of God, became man. He was born in a Bethlehem stable and laid in a manger. Jesus possessed love in eternity and love in time, despite rejection by man. When He was born, no one was interested in Him or the gift of salvation, except for some shepherds and a few others who came to need Jesus. Today, this remains unchanged until God, by His blessed Spirit, shows us the emptiness of life without God. When God convinces us of sin and makes us realize that sin spoils everything, and that a life of sin will never bring true and lasting pleasure, then Jesus, out of necessity, becomes the precious gift of salvation and redemption for us. We will then sing about Him as a Savior who is able to save sinners because He saved a wretch like me. And that reminds me of the hymn, "Angels from the Realms of Glory." My friends, Jesus is God's unspeakable gift. He was born to live obediently. He died to redeem all of us through His precious blood, and now lives to save sinners through the work of His Holy Spirit. Now, in this season and throughout the year, Jesus is the only one that comes to us with gifts of true, lasting value, everlasting value. From Him is the gift of repentance. From Him is the gift of faith to believe in Him. From Him is the gift of pardon for all our sins. From Him is the gift of the gospel, which is the good news that He came to seek and save lost sinners. From Him comes peace with God and true, lasting peace in our hearts and lives. And from Him is the gift of eternal life and everlasting joy, satisfaction, and fulfillment through obedience to His Word. Friends, from Jesus comes a saving declaration by the mouth of the angel, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior which is Christ the Lord. Luke 2, verse 11. And that reminds me of the hymn, Angels from the Realms of Glory. My friends, one of the most wonderful things about Jesus as God's gift of salvation for sinners is that God does not require us to pay any price. Salvation is free. We may have spent a lot of money buying all kinds of gifts, but in the end, we know and God knows that without Him, we will not derive lasting happiness or satisfaction and shall never have peace, no matter what gifts we get for Christmas. However, here is God's answer to our problem. When He states in Isaiah 55, verse 1, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come, come ye to the waters. And he that has no money, come, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy without money and without price. Now, with Jesus as God's free gift to us through His Holy Spirit, we will never say with Johnny, This isn't the kind I wanted. We will never say with Becky, This isn't the right thing. We will never display the character of Jed and say of God, the gracious gift giver, that He is miserly and stingy. And we will never react like George, who forsook his gift and ran off. Rather, we will say, Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift, who saved a wretch like me. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. 1 Timothy 1:15. Now the title to our message this morning is Christmas Spelled Out. So let's spell it out. My friends, what does Christmas really mean to you? For some, it's a time of rejoicing and blessing. For others, it is a curse. Christmas may be either spiritual or it can be satanic. Each letter in the word Christmas suggests the following thoughts to me. For example, the letter C suggests either Christ or carnality, meaning sensuality. To most people, Christmas means an ever-growing list of family, friends, business associates, and neighbors for whom you must buy presents. It is a fatiguing shopping ordeal that ends only when the last check has been written and your bank account is as dry as the Sahara and your credit cards are all maxed out. It is a lavishly spread dinner table which taxes your willpower to keep from being a glutton. It is a tree, lights, candy canes, colored balls, holly wreaths, tinsel, toys, a mink coat, a red sports car, a cabin cruiser, or a new house. Most people miss the real significance of Christmas. The Apostle John reminds us of the true meaning as he writes, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. My friends, Christmas is not tinsel, ribbons, presents, and parties. Christmas is Jesus Christ honored and magnified in our hearts and lives. Now the letter H suggests happiness, but for many it is merely humor. True happiness goes deep into the heart of a man, a result of a new birth experience through belief in Christ. Humor is merely a surface experience, a laugh tonight but sorrow in the morning. The angels declared to the shepherds, keeping watch over the sheep, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Luke 2, verse 10. Friends, lasting joy is found only in Jesus Christ. Now, R stands for redemption, which Christ came to bring. But for many, it is revelry. We read in Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5, But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. My friends, Christ was born into this world to save us from sin and to provide us with life and hope. But for many, Christmas simply means revelry, carousing, drinking, parties, and lust. I suggests inspiration. But for many it means indulgence such as overeating, amusement, and self-abuse. How different it is for the believer in Christ. It is a time of inspiration as we celebrate Christ, the Son of God. Years before the baby Jesus was born, his birth had been foretold. He was given five names which are listed in Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Friends, here, hundreds of years before his birth, Christ was named by his Heavenly Father. And now we come to the letter S. The real meaning of Christmas includes sacrifice. In Matthew 1, verse 21, we read, And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. To save lost humanity from sin demanded a blood sacrifice. Christ came to give himself as that sacrifice, that all who believe on him might be eternally saved. For the unbeliever, however, Christmas tends toward selfishness. There is little or no thought of God. Gifts are usually given, but only with an eye to receiving. Now, T stands for triumph. Christmas reminds us of the overwhelming victory wrought by Jesus Christ. On that first Christmas, the heavenly host appeared to the shepherds, saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Friends, where is this peace? Well, it is in the heart of everyone who truly believes on Jesus Christ. Goodwill toward men is literally men of goodwill. God's redeemed ones are those who possess the peace the angel spoke about. There is great triumph in the message of Christmas, the peace of God. How different it is for the unsaved. Christmas to them is not triumph, but tension and trouble. From Thanksgiving to Christmas, the pressure and tension of shopping and preparing is almost unbearable. But oh, the wonderful peace we have in God. We read in Isaiah 26, verse 3, You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. And when we know Christ, we have peace within. And what a mighty triumph this is over the afflictions and sorrows of life. Now the letter M stands for mission, which is the basic meaning of Christmas as far as I'm concerned. We're told in Luke 19, verse 10, The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Christmas embodies the mission of the coming of the Son of God to provide salvation for all. Of course, for the unsaved, the letter M does not stand for mission, but for misery. Consider the drinking crowd. Christmas, for most of these people, results in misery. Maybe you've been part of this misery in the past because you did not know the satisfaction of walking hand in hand with Jesus Christ. What a wonderful time to receive the Christ of Christmas and know the joy about which the angel spoke, the joy of the Lord. It was just about this time, many years ago, that I came to the Savior, and it's been a joy ever since. Oh yes, my friends, there have been hard times. I've had difficulties and problems, but always God led me through with His marvelous joy and peace. And what a thrill for me to know Jesus Christ. What a joy. And that reminds me of the hymn, Joy to the World. Now let's look at the letter A. The letter A stands for assurance. Listen to the prophecy of Micah 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though you be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. The little baby born at Christmas came to be the ruler of the world. He has not assumed this position yet, but he will return to do this. He will not come back as a little baby. He will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Christmas does not mean assurance to the unsaved, however. It means amusement, good times, fun, and frolic. The expression Merry Christmas is symbolic of what the unsaved expect out of Christmas. But they don't have anything down deep inside like the child of God has. What a wonderful privilege to know Christ. Now the last letter is a letter S, which stands for submission. Should Christmas not be a time when every believer recommits his life to the control of Christ? The apostle declared in John 3 verse 30, "He must increase, but I must decrease." This should be the believer's desire for Christmas and at Christmas. But it is not so for the unbeliever, for Christmas does not mean submission to him. Usually it means sin, having your fling, living it up. Friends, there's no lasting joy in that. Now in closing, let us consider again, who is this child whom angels adore and to whom wise men brought rich gifts? To the shepherd, he is the good shepherd. To the wise men, he is the King of Kings. To the orphan, he is the everlasting father. To those facing antagonism, he is the Prince of Peace. To those who are troubled, he is the wonderful counselor. To the poor in spirit, he is a giver of every good and perfect gift. To the sick, he is a great physician. To the gardener, he is a rose of Sharon. To the weak, he is the mighty God. To those in darkness, he is a light of the world. To the hungry, he is the bread of life. To the thirsty, he is the living water. To the lost, he is the way. To the dying, he is the resurrection and the life. To the sinner, he is a loving Savior. And so the wise men brought their rich gifts, the shepherds their humble praise. But what gift do you bring to Jesus today? Why not the gift of yourself? This is the very gift for which a Christ child has come to earth. Give him your gift today, and let your heart be filled with Jesus and the true meaning of Christmas. Today, what is Jesus to you? Let me tell you something from the Spirit of Prophecy. It says, "What matchless love Jesus has manifested for a fallen world. If angels sang because the Savior was born in Bethlehem, shall not our hearts echo the glad strain? Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Although we do not know the exact day of Christ's birth, we would honor the sacred event. May the Lord forbid that anyone should be so narrow-minded as to overlook the event because there is an uncertainty in regard to the exact time. Let us do what we can to fasten the minds of the children upon those things which are precious to everyone who loves Jesus. Let us teach them how Jesus came into the world to bring hope, comfort, peace, and happiness to all. Let the hearts of all respond with exceeding joy for the priceless gift of a Son of God." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, when so many are caught up in the tinsel and the I wants of worldliness this time of the year, may each one of us here today give to Jesus the gift of ourselves. May we not miss the real meaning and significance of celebrating the birth of our Savior. Help us to realize anew that Christmas is really Jesus Christ honored and magnified in our hearts and lives. We are so thankful for the gift of salvation that is offered to us at the cost of Calvary, where God gave us His greatest gift. Help us to experience the peace of God so others will be able to see Jesus in us. And that is our prayer today, dear Father. In Jesus' name we ask it, and thank you for answering this prayer. Amen.